CougarFan.com, Rise of Child Podcast, episode 412. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, it's been too long. 2 weeks is too long.
Has it been that long?
No, we've talked to each other.
Know. I don't even know anymore.
Oh, don't start with the what day it is. We'll let Sweeney do that. Actually, he doesn't say that this week. So
Sweeney better be in the tweet bag this week. We better open up the tweet bag and find some Justin D. Sweeney in there.
Yeah, there's some Sweeney in there. Don't you get all worked up there, buddy. Not yet.
All right.
Oh, so obviously you've looked at the agenda. Thanks.
I'm just kidding. I see it. I'm not going to spoil his question, though.
Yeah. Well, we've got a great open. His contribution. We've got a great open today, so let's get right to it. This is an email from Simon, our friend Simon. And you can email the show, of course, at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, like Simon does. He says, Dear Rise and Shout Podcast. He's very formal. It's great. Dear Rise and Shout Podcast, if you could only drink 5 sodas for the rest of your life, but you couldn't have Dr. Pepper, what would you pick? My parents won't let me drink Dr. Pepper yet, and I need more good sodas to drink. I feel a heavy responsibility, Matt.
Yeah, this is no joke.
I mean, this is a heavy responsibility. Simon is giving to us, I mean, the youth of America are waiting for our reply.
The youth.
For us to corrupt them by telling them to drink soda. Now, I've got to assume, and, you know, I feel like we're going to get in trouble with Simon's parents potentially, but I've got to assume.
And that's on Simon. He brought it up.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It's on Simon. By the way, I'll get to this later. Anyway, so I've got to assume that caffeinated sodas are out, right?
I came to a similar conclusion because we all know what my number one suggestion is going to be, but if his parents aren't big on Dr. Pepper, like, I don't see Mountain Dew making the cut.
Yeah, I think we've got to assume, he didn't say it in the email, but for this exercise, let's assume no caffeinated beverages, okay?
But other sodas okay.
Other sodas
apparently.
Well, he said I need more good sodas to drink.
So, all right,
yeah,
let's do
this. Assume. I mean that was the dumbest clarification you've ever made.
Well, you're dumb. Okay, yeah, how's that? True. How do you like
That's classic. All right. Let's go and provide some suggestions up to 5 or 6, okay? This isn't a draft, but we're just suggesting.
Okay, excellent.
Things for him. So would you like to go first? Would you like me to go first?
I would love to go first.
Why don't you go first?
Grape Crush. The best. Stuff is so good.
I did not think that's where you're going to go. So,
and I could go. And if this were a draft, I wouldn't take it first. If you can get your hands on, some Grape Crush, Simon, you're going to thank me later. Or Orange Crush, but Grape.
Grape Crush still a thing?
I find it every once in a while. I find it, but I don't. I drink diet soft drinks. I don't even know when the last time was I had one. But it was the first thing I thought of when I saw this question from Simon.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. All right. Let's see. I was gonna say right off the bat the old classic A&W root beer.
Ah, yes.
I mean that's a classic, right? I mean
it's a good root beer.
It's a good root beer. So, what's another suggestion for Simon?
The next one is saying this is a little hoity-toity.
Oh,
but I was the next one I was going to go with was Virgil's root beer, only available in bottles, small growlers, and in the rare can. But Virgil's root beer.
Ah, okay. Virgil's root beer. That's a good one. Well, I wasn't gonna go that quite hoity-toity, but there's a Mexican apple soda.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Pause. Time out. I'm tapping my shoulders. I need a 20-second timeout.
Okay. All right.
You led into whatever this is you're about to say with I wasn't going to go as hoity-toity as your Virgil's root beer, but let me suggest to you this rare. What was this? You said this was a Mexican.
You can get it at Kroger. It's not rare.
Oh my
god! Just go to the glass bottled soda section of your nicer Kroger stores. Okay.
Okay, that's cool. Comb your mustache and put your knit cap on.
Gosh.
Here comes Adam.
It's from Mexico.
It's from Mexico. It's imported.
Oh my gosh! Shut up. All right.
I liked this before it was cool.
It's called Mundet. Apple soda. Okay, and it is delicious. So better than Grape Crush. Not that we're, I mean, this isn't a draft and we're not saying whose list is better, but mine will be better. So anyway.
Whatever your Mundet is, I'm just going to throw out there and tell you it's not as good as Zhivchik, which okay. is.
Now you're just making words.
It sounds like a Ukrainian version of what you're describing.
Oh, no one can. He's not going to be able to find a Ukrainian soda. No,
never
going to
be able to find it. I don't know that anybody's ever found it in the States.
All right. You give him a real suggestion.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, well, I gave him Grape Crush. I gave him Virgil's Root Beer.
And what else? I'm gonna go.
Well, you know what? There's a couple of classics here, right? Sprite. Sprite is good, but Sprite's obviously good. Simon already knows about Sprite.
Yeah, Sprite. Sprite's pretty good. Sprite's pretty good. I would say another one is Find and Taste Test Cream Sodas. I've found that there's a bunch out there, right? Virgil's has one. That's quite delicious, right? Doesn't Virgil's have one?
They do, and it is delicious. Yeah. They do a black cherry cream soda and a regular
cream
soda.
That's right. That's right. That one's good.
Both delicious.
So there's a lot of cream sodas out there. I would say the mileage varies for me depending on the cream soda, right? Like I like some and I don't like others as much, right? It's root beer is the same way for me, right? Like some root beers I love and some I have to comb my mustache afterwards, right? I mean, one time...
I comb your mustache.
I forget what the name of the restaurant was. Downtown Lafayette, Indiana. It may not even be there anymore. Lived there a long time ago. We went there and ordered root beer. They served it room temperature, and it wasn't very caffeinated. I mean, carbonated.
What?
Yeah, it was gross. Neither of us... Both of us, my wife and I, love root beer, and neither of us, like, even got to half done with the root beer. So anyway, there's some sodas. Again, if you want diet versions of those, most of them that we suggested have diet versions if you're into such things, Simon. All right. Well,
Fresca. Fresca. Simon, well, hold on.
Fresca. Stop. Fresca? Fresca's gross.
Fresca's good.
No, Fresca, there's nothing. Stop. Why did you say that word? Don't give
it's
him
good.
Something gross. Ugh. All of your other suggestions I liked. That one is terrible.
What about cherry 7-Up? I like cherry.
Ooh,
I like
cherry
7-Up.
I don't like regular 7-Up. I prefer Sprite, but I do like cherry 7-Up. And what's the other lime soda that you sometimes get at restaurants? I can't think of it right now. I never drink it because I think it's terrible. Sprite 7-Up and Sierra Mist.
Oh, Sierra Mist. Yeah, it's not good.
It's okay. One of my daughters does this. She mixes it with Hawaiian fruit punch in equal portions. And likes that. But anyway. All right, Simon, thank you for the excellent question. That's a great way to start off.
I could do a whole show on this.
We totally could do a whole show on, I love soda. I love soda's one of my things.
I'm drinking one right now.
Yeah, you guys heard me open up. Sorry, Simon, a Dr. Pepper. Let's climb on in the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag.
So people want us to talk about the NBA, which is your number one favorite topic.
Well, let's be clear. People want us to talk about the NBA in the 90s, which I actually do enjoy talking about.
Because you watched it and paid attention back then.
I was into it, and I have watched all 10 hours of The Last Dance. I am ready for this conversation.
Let's do it. All right. So Wade Hillam gave us a question on Facebook. And by the way, there will be BYU sports content later on in the show, I promise.
Probably.
And you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/writingshop. He says, over under on Jazz fans crying during episodes 9 and 10 of The Last Dance. I'll set it at 70%. Over and under on Jazz fans thinking Jordan is full of crap that he didn't push Brian Russell. I'll set it at 99%. So Matt, I think I'm going to take the over on Wade's 70%. I bet you it was more than 70% of diehard Jazz fans.
Based on my Twitter feed, so they didn't even get to discussing that series, those last two series that they in those last 2 years against the Jets, they didn't even get to discussing them until episodes 9 and 10. But as soon as episode 8 was over, until, I don't know, it's still going on today, I think, in my Twitter feed.
Yeah, I've seen some.
It was nonstop. Like, I don't even want to watch this garbage. Why would I want to watch this? Watch them draw out for hours a discussion of one of the most painful sporting memories of my lifetime. I'm going to say I'm taking the way over at 70%. The way over. And I'll be honest, I was a Jazz fan during this period of time. I was a huge Karl Malone fan.
Yeah, I was kind of a Jazz fan at this point. I was definitely rooting for them over the Bulls.
Yes, for sure.
And so let's get to the Brian Russell thing.
Would I have rooted for the Celtics over the Jazz? Like, given the opportunity, I think that I would have. But
so let's talk about this for a second. So he definitely pushed off, right? I mean, is that even like factually in doubt?
Did you watch it?
Like,
did you watch The Last Dance though, right?
Yeah.
The replay. He did not push him. I thought the line. Who was the guy that said it was Costas, who said it was the equivalent of a maitre d' showing somebody to their seat.
No,
look, he didn't push him. There was not a push. He mentioned it before. Russell plays on his toes. He took him with the misdirection with that step, and Russell went down, dude.
Oh, no,
he did
I'm not saying it was a foul, okay? I'm not saying it was a foul. He touched Russell, right?
I don't think he put any momentum into it.
His hand is on him, and he touched him, and I think it's a little shove-up, which, by the way, happened back then in the 90s in the NBA all the time, right?
Yes.
It's not an egregious thing. Right. But I also think, you know, Jordan does that to create space, right? He moves his arm like that, not just because he's like showing, unlike Costas. I know what Costas said. It was funny. I just don't think it's actually accurate. I think
it's a great line.
Remember, Jordan got to approve all this stuff, right? So let's take this with a little grain of salt.
Are we gonna talk about the pizza story? Because we should talk about the pizza story.
Yeah, the pizza story is a little ridiculous, but yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But the point is, he did this all the time. It wasn't an offensive foul. They shouldn't have called it an offensive foul. And Russell just got beat by the greatest player of all time. There's really, quite frankly, no shame in that at all. You know, they have the Jazz had the right player on him. The question really on that play is whether you double him, right? And teams did that in the 90s to the Bulls, and Kerr and Paxson killed them, right?
That's right. Especially that season, you know, because Kerr really – that season was really Kerr's year.
Yeah. And Paxson, the three-peat before that, right? That was the problem. They had a couple of really good shooters, and you would give – if you did that, you gave somebody a wide-open shot. So, you know, I think Sloan's one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. I think those Jazz teams, quite frankly, are probably top 20 of teams of my lifetime.
Yeah,
maybe 25 of the best teams of my lifetime. And that's no shade on them. They were a really good team. And any of the haters, and I've seen lots of them on Twitter lately, that think John Stockton couldn't play in today's NBA, they just need to watch some of those games.
Oh yeah, you got to watch him play when he played in the 90s, dude. Like, I mean, people still feel like he was a dirty player and blah blah blah. Stockton would have competed. Stockton would absolutely compete.
Oh, he'd be an all-star still. It's insane. It doesn't even make any sense. And he would have grown up with a better three-point shot than he had when he got into the NBA, because that's how kids play today, right? And what they do. So, I mean, you have to think about it. When he played college, the three-point shot was still relatively new. So let's answer Justin's question first. I'm going to reverse the order on this next one. Justin
Sweeney.
At Justin Z. Sweeney. That was terrible. That was terrible.
Timing is terrible. But no, you said his name like four different times.
I know, I'm sorry. It was actually my top three moments. These are Justin's top three moments from the docuseries. 1992 Dream Team scrimmage footage. That was awesome. Snippet at the end of 7 or 8 where he gets choked up because he cares about the game so much, and hearing agony sobs as he lay on the floor after beating Seattle, and putting sense to that image. And then close four is the Steve Kerr story. We'll get to the Steve Kerr story in a second. Do you have any other moments from the docuseries you wanted to bring up?
I think I really enjoyed the story about what was the guy's name? I'm blanking on his name. The guy in the security detail that kind of stepped in and helped him after his dad passed away.
Yeah,
was it Gus or Gary?
I can't remember.
That was That's one that I didn't know about. That's a great story. I had actually seen. I feel like I had seen that scrimmage footage before. At least read some story about it or something.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I've seen it before. I think I had seen it before.
But I agree with Sweeney here. Hearing the sounds of him on the floor when he's hugging the ball in the locker room, after his dad passed away. I mean, that was that was definitely something. And I don't know if you saw this. You should check it out. If I can find it back on Twitter, maybe I'll send you the link. But there's a video that they made last week where they showed Nick Saban the clip that he's talking about here about how he cares about the game so much. Because remember that, if I'm thinking of the same clip that Sweeney's talking about, that the question that prompted the response was, do you feel like you had to sacrifice being a nice guy in order to win?
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of gave this speech like, yeah, I pulled people up that win ways at times that they didn't want to get pulled. But if you don't want to play that way, then don't play. And they showed it to Nick Saban, and then Nick Saban's response to it is fascinating. Prompted a very interesting conversation with my son when we watched it. But those are great moments.
But he was a jerk.
He was a complete tool. But he chose to do it. But he chose to do it that way.
Yeah, he chose to do it that way.
It was a calculated decision that's how he was going to lead that team.
Yeah, I mean, calculated decision. I think that's in retrospect. I think he just that's just how he is. I don't think he decided to do it. I think he tried to be nice his first few years in the NBA, and he tried to play along like it happened at North Carolina, and they weren't winning.
I think it got worse when he came back after baseball. He came back for the short end of the season. They got eliminated, and he was like, "We got eliminated because you guys are soft, because you didn't have to put up with what I put up with in the early '90s and the beginning of my career. So I'm going to be the terror to you that the Pistons and all of these other people were to me when I got initiated into the league."
I think it got
turned up a notch at that point.
But think for a moment that the year after he retired, what team won the title? Spurs. Who are their two stars?
Totally different approach.
I'm just saying, right? Popovich and Duncan, and of course Duncan wasn't the leader on that team, right? No. Was Duncan even on that team yet? Yeah, he was. Yeah. And Robinson, like, I'm just saying there's not just one way to win. Dabo Sweeney wins and Nick Saban wins. And they're not the same. Right, Saban would agree with Michael Jordan, and
absolutely
Dabo Sweeney and Tony Dungy would say, "No, you don't have to do that to win." Right, and
you have to play to your strengths.
Oh, for sure, but I would not have liked
if you're Jordan or Saban or Dabo.
Yeah, for sure. Dabo's got to be Dabo, right? He can't be Saban; it wouldn't work, and vice versa. Like Bill Belichick can't turn around and start to. Being Don Shula, right? Like,
right. He's just, not Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he's definitely not Pete Carroll. Think about this for a second. The Patriots had Pete Carroll, then Parcells, then... No, it was the other... It was Parcells, then Carroll, then Belichick. Yeah, I just got the order. Think about that if you're a player on those three rosters. Whiplash, man. Whiplash. All right. So the Steve Kerr story. I've read about this story a ton before. So this was no surprise. I know for a lot of people, this is like the first time they've heard this story about Steve Kerr.
I had no idea.
You had never heard that story.
I had never heard the story.
So you had never heard the part about Arizona State making fun of him, the fans ridiculing him the day after, 2 days after, whatever it was, his dad died.
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's It's this fascinating story that quite frankly makes you sick to your stomach about sports fans as a group. Like, can you imagine making fun of somebody at a basketball game for their dad dying?
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane, right? Like, and just Kerr's story and his courage and the fact that he's become this really good NBA coach too is not a surprise, right? Based on the kind of cerebral player he was, but also just like how well grounded he is, right? Like Jordan couldn't be a coach, right? He couldn't do what he did as a coach because it doesn't work if he's not on the court, right?
Right.
And heck, Bird only did it for like 3 or 4 years, right? Before he went into the front office for Indiana. That picture of Bird where he's like, oh, we're about to lose. That was one of my favorite moments because Bird knows he gets it because he was that guy on the other side, right? And he knew what was going to happen. All right, so enough of the last.
I thought the Isaiah Thomas interviews were awesome.
Yeah, so here's the thing: I loved watching Isaiah Thomas. I actually like as a young kid, I modeled my game after him in Stockton because I was I wasn't tall as either of them. But, you know, proportionately, they were both short, right? And I was short. And I loved Isaiah Thomas, despite the fact that I was a Celtics fan and he played on the Pistons. I just loved watching him play. I don't like listening to him as a person. Those were fascinating. But he's been such a terrible businessman, ran the CBA into the ground, like all this other stuff. Like, listening to those was fascinating, but I'm just like, I just want to see highlights of him play, and you know, and I do feel bad for the Dream Team thing, but Stockton was the right choice.
Right? Yeah, well,
if 3 or 4 of those guys didn't want to play with Isaiah, including Jordan, I don't believe him. By the way, I believe, nor do I believe the people at NBA at USA Basketball. I think even if he never officially said it, Isaiah Thomas was not on the team because everybody knew Jordan didn't want him on the team. Do you disagree with that?
I believe that Jordan never said it. I think he realized he didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that so people just made the decision.
But he wasn't the only one.
The decision was made for him.
Bird didn't want him on the team.
I'm sure.
Bird didn't like him. Right? So you had Bird and Jordan and Magic. Those were the only three people they cared about in 92, right? Everybody else was a sideshow, right? Barkley, Stockton, Malone, David Robinson, Christian Leitner. It was all a sideshow, right? Like, you needed those three, the three most recognizable basketball players in the world, right? The USA team just needed those three on the court. And so if two of the three of them, and of course, Irvin Magic would have had anybody on the team, right? Because he gets along with everybody. But I don't know. It just the whole thing, that part was fascinating, the Steve Kerr thing. But let's move on, or we could do a whole show on
this. If they did 10 hours on it, we could probably talk about it for 10 hours.
Yeah, easy. So Randy Whittle on Facebook has a different question related to The Last Dance. Is Michael Jordan NBA's greatest player of all time? Which seems to be the consensus. Who is number two? Who is the GOAT at each of the five positions? So we're going to do a little draft here at the end of the show, Matt, and we'll move on to other stuff. But I would say that is BYU related, but I'll say this. Michael Jordan's the best player ever. You agree or disagree?
I think I agree there.
And we'll get into who we think is next, but I don't know if it's consensus. I think there's a few folks that find LeBron's the length of his career, right? And it depends on what you rate, right? Like if you're talking peak, if you're talking total value, right? And I think championships are overrated, right? Like, for example, I saw a bunch of people when the ESPN gave their like top 75 players of all time or whatever the number was. And people were like, oh, Stockton, Malone, and Barkley are too high. Oh, stop it, right? Like nobody was beating Jordan back then. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think that's not a fair way to judge it. But anyway, we'll come back to that. All right. Keith Smith has an email for us for the ages, Matt. And I don't usually read
emails. I'm already laughing. This long. I'm already laughing. You haven't even started reading it yet.
But I'm going to read it. So if you guys recall, 3 weeks ago, we had an email from him that was also one for the ages, in which you thought he was talking about the movie The Notebook. I thought he was talking about the Old Testament and the Bible. He provides.
Have we ever clarified that? I mean, no, we need to, that needs to be clarified. We get there. I know. We get there. All right. Okay. All right.
He's given clarity. All right. So here we go. This is from Keith Smith. To be clear, because we also made fun of him because he didn't respond to our response, and I said, is he even listening? To be clear, I've never missed a podcast since I started listening several years ago after seeing it listed on justserve.org under the heading, Please Listen to My Husband's Podcast. It's my way of remotely ministering to you. If you don't hear from me in any given week, it's only because I want others to have a chance to comment. I don't want to be that guy from Gospel Doctrine who's monopolizing the discussion. You hear that, Hiram? Put your hand down and let others have a chance. And yes, my there's some weird stuff in the first half comment was indeed referencing the Old Testament. I wonder if Noah from the Notebook was named after Noah from the Bible. Now... Okay, I can't even get to this.
You hear that, Hiram? Put your hand down.
You put your hand down, Hiram.
He named the guy Hiram.
Of course he named him Hiram.
He's nailing this. All right, sorry.
So I've served as a Sunday school teacher several times, and I have twice instituted a rule of maximum comments made in a class session.
Oh.
And I even had to shut down a member of a stake presidency once. I said, sorry, you're at three.
You only get three.
You only get three. Big wards, right? Big classes. And you're like, and you really could have Hiram dominating the whole thing. All right. So anything you want to say about Keith's email before we get into his actual question?
One of the greatest emails of all time.
Yes, it was fantastic. Between him and Simon this week, the email game by the listeners is on point.
Yeah, very well done.
All right, so now for the real question, he says. Three-point shooting contest. The top 10 best BYU shooters of all time step out of the time machine while still in their prime and compete in a modern three-point shooting contest. Who are they and who wins? Matt, I have the list. And I'm not going all the way back to the 50s. I'm doing it in our lifetime. Because it's just too hard for me to go back further than that. Okay.
The good news is, we would set it in Don's lifetime, but then we'd have to go all the way back to the 20s.
Well, I think he played with peach baskets, right? And you couldn't even move back then, right? And you had to get a ladder to get the ball out of the peach basket before they figured out how to cut a hole.
Got the hole in the bottom.
Yeah, I
think Don actually figured that out.
Yeah, I think you may be right. This was after he got back from Klingon on his mission.
Adam, our brother Don has led a very full and mysterious
life. It's like
life.
Forrest Gump, really.
Yep.
It's like Forrest Gump.
A lot like right. that.
Okay. So I identified 12, not 10. But you can eliminate, I'm going to allow you to eliminate two of these people. Okay? Jake Toulson, Chase Fisher, Tyler Hawes, the Jimmer, Jackson Emery, Jonathan Tavenari, Lee Cummard, Mark Heslop, Andy Toulson, Michael Smith, Marty Hawes, and Danny Ainge, of course, who played before the three-point line, but we're going to put him in there. He was a pretty good three-point shooter in the NBA. So which two of the 12 are you eliminating?
I'm taking out Mark Heslop and Chase Fisher.
Heslop was dynamite at shooting three pointers. But I'm okay with
these guys were these guys were all good at shooting.
Yeah, they're all
these guys could all shoot the deep ball. Like you know what I mean? Like
okay, all right. So take those two guys out. Chase Fisher and Mark Heslop are out. We got Toulson, Hawes, Tyler Hawes, and Marty Hawes, the Jimmer, Jackson Emery, Tavenari, Cummard, both Toulsons. Right, we've got two sets of dad and son, right?
Yep.
And then Michael Smith and Danny Ainge. Who wins this? I went back, man. I combed all the top 3-point shooters for the last, you know, since the 3-point line went up. And it's really weird. There's a huge gap in the 90s where I didn't put anybody on. Like Robbie Reed, like I'm not putting him on this list.
Come on.
No. Okay. So who wins this? I mean,
Danny Ainge.
I think Ainge is a good choice. Jimmer, if you do it at a distance. Like, don't make it a 3-point shooting contest. It's a 3-point shooting shot contest plus 2 feet. But if it's at the line, I like Ainge. Cummard was a better shooter than I think some folks remember.
Yeah, probably better than he gets credit for.
I mean, Toulson this year, Jake Toulson, had a season for the ages shooting threes.
Yeah, he did.
Really good season. But I'm with you. I think Ainge wins it. I think he was one of the best pure shooters. But gosh, I went through this list. All these guys for their career were high 30%, and most of them had a season significantly above 40.
Right? It's amazing. It's amazing when you think about it.
These were all really good shooters. And I think actually Jimmer, if you don't do the distance thing, is probably doesn't even make the finals. And no, not because he's not a good shooter, just some of these guys, what Jimmer did was different, right? And a lot of the value Jimmer brought wouldn't actually, in a 3-point contest, wouldn't
play. Right, because he could step back. He could hit you from the bad Mountain West Conference logo at the center court.
Or he could juke you and step back and shoot the three and create the space. Well, you don't have to do that. Right.
In a 3-point contest.
That is one of my favorite stories about Larry Bird in the first ever 3-point shooting contest. You've heard this one, right?
No.
Oh, so he basically said who's going to come in second. When they called him and invited him, he said to them on the phone, who's coming in second? And he ticked off some of the other people so bad, trash talking from the sideline. Like afterwards, a couple of the other shooters, you know, didn't talk to him for quite some time. Right? Like because of the trash talk. So he took it very seriously and he won. So, right?
You know, I watched today was the speech he gave at the ceremony where they retired his number. Interesting guy, Larry Bird.
Interesting guy. And had a very good relationship over time with Magic and Michael.
Yeah, right? Well, you saw the clip in Last Dance, right? Where when they beat him when he was the coach.
And by the way, this whole thing about NBA players being friends now, like, that's been true for basically ever.
Danny Ainge and Michael Jordan went golfing during a playoff series.
Oh, somebody, I'm missing a question. Somebody asked us about that.
Gambled on some holes.
Yeah.
And then when he dropped him off, Jordan said to Ainge, "Tell DJ I got something for him tonight."
Yeah. Right? I didn't drop that one in. Like an hour ago, Shane McDougald sent us a question. Is Danny Ainge a bigger deal in Boston or Provo?
He's a pretty big deal in Boston.
I would say at this point, Boston, right? Like, yeah. I think... Have I ever told you about
it's recency bias, right?
Yeah, it's recency bias. Have you ever? I've said this story on the show before when we served pizza to Danny Ainge when I worked at Brick Oven.
I know I've heard this story 4 million times. Yes, go ahead.
So I'm working not in the banquet section of the restaurant, and a big, huge party I'd seen come in and get seated in this big room that the Brick Oven had, and so. My coworkers, she comes up front and I'm talking to the hostess about getting a table sat or whatever. And she comes up and she's like, "Why are all these guys freaking out?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, we just sat this big party and supposedly he's famous." And I said, "Oh, who is it?" Well, she's like, "Well, who's Danny Ainge?" Because she had seen the name on the reservation.
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge. I said, "Danny Ainge is back there? Can I switch with you?" And she just rolled her eyes and walked away. And I'm like, I
did she, but did she let you switch?
No, she didn't let me switch.
You didn't get back there?
I did not. We had a manager standing back there, and you had to be bringing something in and be one of the servers for the room because it was getting out of control with people going back there. And no joke, this happened when we had general authorities, particularly of the 12. They would have to like start shooing people out. I was actually served one of the 12 who then told one of the servers as I'm leaving, could you please leave? This is like a family thing. But the guy was just standing there. Just like, hey. Like I thought he was going to pull up a seat. And I'm sure that's true. And Steve Young came once and people went gaga. I wasn't there that night, unfortunately. So I didn't get to experience that one. And then when Wally Joyner came, I think I was the only one of like three people that knew who he was. So I did.
Yeah, Wally Joyner. He's like, just give me a booth.
Yeah, just give me a booth. Me and a couple of friends. All right. So let's get back to this fast
that
break.
That should have been on the list. Where is Simon from?
I don't know. Has he told us?
We probably
from?
Shouldn't say that. I don't know. Probably not. And he shouldn't, right? Because we're strangers on the internet. But Simon, if you get yourself the Provo, you know, you need to go get that root beer, the bottled root beer out of Brick Oven.
Yeah, but is it still good? I haven't had it in.
I don't even know. I don't even know if it's still there. Is it still there?
Yeah, the Brick Oven's still there. It was when I worked there 20 years ago. It was homemade root beer. Family
so
recipe.
Good.
It was very good. Okay, Gary Payne at Fast Break GP on Twitter says this: why are you guys sleeping on Travis Hansen? Matt, why are you sleeping on Travis Hansen?
Listen, this is in reference to the conversation about putting together our 3-on-3 team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me finish the question. He says he's on my 3-on-3 team with Micah. And then we go into something here in a minute, and we'll get back to the COVID-19 question. Hansen was good. I don't want him. He wouldn't have been my first choice to be on the 3-on-3 team.
He wouldn't have, but I mean, Hansen was solid.
Fine.
He got drafted, had a good career overseas, and is by all accounts a really good guy.
Yeah, no, he's got some size and he can shoot, right? Like, he's not a bad choice for a 3-on-3.
He was fun to watch play. I really enjoyed watching Travis Hansen.
Yeah, so, we weren't sleeping on him. We just didn't pick him. And the other part was, I picked people I wanted to play with because I really liked them, not necessarily the team that I thought would win.
Yeah, mine was all nostalgia, let's be honest.
Yeah, so he then says, face mask or face shield? Much of my Chick-fil-A went to shields. They look like scientists making chicken sandwich. It's a sandwich, right? Of course it's a sandwich. It's not a hot dog. Hashtag tweet bag, hashtag paint bag. It's not a taco.
Which is a sandwich.
So Matt, face shield or face mask?
I think it depends on the task. If you're engaged in a scientific endeavor like preparing a chicken sandwich, I think a face shield is a pretty good way to go.
High science.
But like, you know, when I'm going through the drive-thru to pick up my sandwiches and tacos, I'm not putting on a face shield for that. I'm wearing my mask.
Yeah, interesting. All right. So Matt, we're going to quickly go into our big why question today. And it is... See, before I stop the recording by accident, that was almost a catastrophe. We're going to look at friend of the podcast article, Jay Drew, when he talks about the depth chart for BYU defense and special teams and what they might look like next year. So we're going to kind of break this down. All right?
All right, let's break it down.
All right. So let's talk about, he talks about punter, Danny Jones, Skylar Southam left to Utah.
You do know he's going to go on to be like an incredible kicker, right? What's going to happen. Anyway, stop. I wish him all the best for most of the games he will play.
Yeah, be quiet. I hate you guys.
Whatever.
Actually, I hope he misses every field goal from now on. Nothing personal.
Jeez. It's just because nothing personal, but I hope he's just a terrible failure in life.
How can you say that?
You can't say those two things together. I hope he's a terrible failure, but it's really nothing personal.
Listen, we said the same thing about every BYU guy who's transferred to the U. We wish them the best, and we hope their teams are terrible. right? Like, it's just what we do. I do wish him the best. I don't have any, I don't have any problems.
But you don't wish him the best. You just said you hope he misses every field goal he takes. That's not wishing him the best.
Okay, you're right. It's not. Okay, let's get to the defensive line for a second.
Let's do that.
Okay, Jay Drew makes the case that last year's defensive line was the problem with the defense. Matt, I can't disagree with his with it. Can you?
Last year's defensive line as a unit was a problem.
Yeah,
fact.
And Tonga, after an amazing start to the season, kind of disappeared even without double teams later in the year. I don't know if he was hurt. I mean, he elected not to go into the NFL draft. And so it was an uneven year at best and not a very good year at worst for the defensive line.
Yep.
So you look at Tonga and then you've got who, right? Like, are you excited about anybody else?
I'm not as excited about anybody else as I am about Tonga coming back. That's for sure. And I don't even know. I don't even see a close second.
So you got seniors Zach Daw and Leotawa and Falate, who played a lot. They should be the starters. This is according to Jay Drew. I'm more excited, quite frankly, about Mahe as a backup, because those guys all played a lot last year and weren't very effective. So
and Mahe, I feel like he may have something. And El Bakri, I cheer for anybody from that family.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic.
I just like them. But Mahe, I feel like there may be something there.
Yeah, and he also mentions Tyler Batty, who's returned from his mission. On a line, I just assume those guys right off their mission aren't going to do much that year back.
Yeah, they're not.
I just think the strength isn't going to be there. Linebackers, of course, was a much different story. I remember last year around this time, you were super concerned about the linebacker group, and mm-hmm. for good reason.
I was.
And you look at, now we come back and it's led by two seniors who are having good careers in Isaiah Kafusi and Kavika Fanua. And, then you've got Peyton Wilgar coming back, right?
I love Peyton Wilgar.
Now, do you think they move into D-line to create a fast, undersized, and by that I just mean really height, right? He's not that small physically. Do you think they try to move him around, or do you think we see him as a traditional linebacker this year?
I think we see him as a traditional linebacker this year. They're clearly focusing on that position group. They're taking big safeties, bringing them in and teaching them to be linebackers, putting a little bit of weight on them. I think that the depth at linebacker is going to become important for them, and passing Wilgar onto another position group could really be a problem there, especially depending on what kind of choices they have to make around Chaz IU, who there's no indication that he won't be playing this fall, but I don't know that there's a lock in that he will be, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of just trying to maintain some depth so they can rotate fresh legs in there, I think Wilgar stays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he'll be way more effective there as a backup linebacker, or a backup, maybe a wrong word, but a rotating in linebacker than he would on a position with his hand on the ground.
Like it or not, they rotate the defense, right? So the starting spots are not that they're irrelevant, but really it's who gets the most snaps, right? Not who starts the first snap, right? And I'll be honest, the rotations are getting to the point where I'm getting annoyed by them, because sometimes I feel like they're just doing a card and not looking at the situation. If there's a short yardage situation and you don't have Tonga on the field, I don't understand.
Well, he makes reference to it in this article. I think Tonga was getting gassed, and I think he got worn down as the season went on.
I think that's true.
That's something you've got to fix. He probably has to play at a slightly lighter weight, right?
Yeah.
But I'd hope we don't get into like a load management issue with him, right? You just gotta train him better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so on that note, before we go on to the rest of the linebacker group, there's been some criticism over Kalani Sitake's tenure as coach about the health and conditioning of his players. including a couple of very vocal former players who didn't like his strength and conditioning coaches, right? Something that recently came out was Satake said that they were not prescribing a plan specific for each student athlete. Does that strike you as odd?
Yes. That's just, absolutely.
That just, like, I was almost floored by the comment.
I don't even know if odd isn't the right word for me. Problematic is the right word.
Because aren't even high school coaches do that? Like, your son,
my son is going to be, he's every single day. So yeah. my son is playing Texas high school football. He's going to be a sophomore this year. He gets a texted workout to him daily. Actually, no, they tweet it. I get it. I see what it is so that I can talk to him about it.
Yeah. It's bizarre to me, to be honest. Bizarre is the word I would have picked. Not odd. Bizarre. Like, why wouldn't you as a coach? Why wouldn't you have, and it could be by position group, right? It doesn't have to be universal, right? Probably doesn't actually even make sense to be universal, right? Depending on what position they're playing. Anyway, all right. So we're both of a like mind there. I think, again, I'm going to assume for a second that AU's on the field, which is not a safe assumption.
But you know what? Given the way this is all played out, it may be, right?
Yeah, it might be.
It sounds like there's nothing there.
If he's on the field, then I like the depth. Because you've got Keenan Peely, you've got Drew Jensen, Jackson Kafusi. I think there's depth there at linebacker and talent. And I think that depth chart between injuries and rotations and effectiveness, I think it'll look different by week 3 or 4 than it does on week 1. Because I think you've got some young guys there too that are going to play their way up, right? And that may happen on the defensive line, as we were talking about too. So cornerbacks. Chris Wilcox, last year of eligibility, he's a very good cornerback. If he's healthy, he's there, right? On the other side from him, you've got two experienced guys in Mandel and Heron. They had penalty issues. Jay Drew says inconsistencies. I don't know if I would call it their problem was inconsistencies. I think they got exposed by some very good wide receivers last year.
I think there was just a lack of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he mentions a couple other that might make the two deep chart, Keenan Ellis and Weber State transfer Shaman Willis. I'll tell you this. I think it would be a big upset if Wilcox, Mandel, and Heron aren't the three guys that get the most snaps at cornerback.
I would be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if that's not the case.
All right. So really weird. You graduated two safeties who both have a chance to play in the NFL, in Austin Lee and Diane Gunwalaku. And you've replaced them with two seniors who, by the way, are both immensely talented.
One of whom's got a brother in the NFL who's been very successful.
Yeah.
And the other one who, I don't know, maybe he's got himself a shot next year.
Oh, Anderson? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's got a shot. I mean, the fact that he's played linebacker and safety in college, I think will only help him. And then Troy Warner, when he's healthy, has been very good.
Right? Very good.
And he can cover and he can hit. He can, you know, and he can cover wide receivers if you need him to, right? Like a lot of times safeties, some safeties that BYU's had just don't have that ability one-on-one to cover a talented wide receiver. So you've got those two guys, and then you got Malik Moore, who played some last year, and then Hayden Livingston played a little bit last year. Max Tooley, who is coming over from linebacker. This is a deep athletic group, man. Lots of good things there.
Yeah, this is actually looking at this when you think about it. This is typically this is a position group that I worry about, this and cornerbacks really. But right now, when I look at what we have coming back in both of these spots, I mean, there's reasons to be excited.
Yeah. If we go to special teams, here's the deal. I would have rather had Southam as our kicker than Oldred. It's nothing personal. I hope Oldred has a terrific year. And
none of this is personal for you, apparently. So
no, I was so excited. I've never been excited about a kicker in our recruiting class history until Southam. And I just feel like the coaching staff screwed this up. I just feel like you don't yank kickers around. I've never seen that work. Has that ever worked? Yanking kickers in and out. You let them get in the groove.
The conventional wisdom is to not mess with them that way.
Yeah. Let them get in their groove. If they hit a bad spot, you just live with it. Right? Or you bench them and don't put them back in. But this back and forth, oh, now Oldred's in a slow spot. Like trying to play the hot hand, good luck with that. Right? Anyway.
Well, because kicking is a thing, right, that's very it's I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, right? But you've got to do the same exact thing every time. So the more reps that you are giving a guy, the more game reps that you're giving a guy, the better he's going to be and the more in the groove he's going to be. And he's got to be able to do that consistently because it's so precise.
Yeah.
And when you start pulling people in and out of that groove, yeah, you know what I mean? It's a stutter step and it's tough.
Yeah. As far as punt returning goes, Hefo's a massive loss, right? He was really good at that. And I don't think we're going to, I think we're going to go back to where we've been most of the last decade and a half, which is we just hope they don't fumble.
Yeah. There's nobody in here that I'm like, yeah, this guy's going to bring it to the house.
Yeah. I don't think he mentions Gunnar Romney and Dax Milne. I don't know if either of those are the two that do it or not. And if we could get a kickoff where somebody can get more than 18 or 20 yards kickoff return, that'd be great. He lists Katoa and Algier as the kickoff returners. That's fine. If Katoa ends up being one of your starting running backs, I don't want him back there returning kicks.
Right.
So anyway, all right, Matt, let's finish up with our game today, which is we're going to draft an NBA team, you and I. All time. You can have anybody.
All right.
And unlike what he said before, so this really comes from Randy Whittle's question that he asked earlier. I'm not going to stick to NBA traditional positions because I think those have always been fluid and, quite frankly, kind of silly, right?
Oh, excellent.
So you can draft whoever you want.
But this is a draft, so we can't take the same people?
Correct. We are going to have 10 people, 5 each. They're going to be different. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
All right. So I am magnanimous, and since this is a snake draft, I'd rather go second anyway. So why don't you go first?
I have no choice here but to take, with the first pick, Michael Jordan.
You have to take the best player available. Yes, you have to take the best player available. Love your choice. Very good choice. I'm going to take, with the second pick in this draft, Wilt Chamberlain.
Excellent.
And then I'm going to take, after that, shocker, I'm going to take Kobe Bryant. I'm totally kidding. I couldn't even say that. Straight face. No, I'm not taking Kobe Bryant. He wouldn't make my top 20.
Yikes.
He wouldn't. I mean, all due respect, but I saw him, how high ESPN ranked him, and I'm like, no. I mean, he wasn't the best player in the NBA, I don't think, ever one year. Like, Jordan was the best player in the NBA almost every year he played, forgetting the Washington Wizard years, right? Wilt Chamberlain was the best player in the NBA most years he played, right? Like, we're talking about transcendent players here, and Wilt Chamberlain and Jordan work there. I think I'm going to take just such a homer pick. I'm going to take Larry Bird with my next one.
Ah, come on.
I don't even think he's the top 3 in NBA history, but I'm still taking him because I'm a homer, and I was afraid you'll take him with one of your next 2 picks. All right, Matt, you get the next 2 picks.
And I thought about it. All right, with the next 2 picks, I'm going to take... Yeah, I think I can come back and get what I need. I'm going to go ahead and take... You took Chamberlain. I guess I don't need to take a big man now, do I?
You don't have to take a big man, but you're going to have to guard Chamberlain. I'm just saying.
All right, so I'm. All right, so I'm going to take Kareem.
Mm.
That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Or Lou Alcindor. Which one are you taking?
I'm taking him as Kareem.
All right.
And then my pick after that. Oh, this is tough. I'm going to take Karl Malone.
Really? Interesting. All right. Karl Malone. All right. So let's see. I had, let's go back to my cheat sheet here. All right. So, I mean, here's the thing, right? Do you want to take somebody at their peak? I'm thinking this is their best season, right? You're taking them at their peak, right? We're not drafting like career value, right? Are you cool with that?
Yeah, you're taking them at their peak for sure.
Yeah, you're taking them at their peak. I'm going to take Oscar Robertson.
Oh.
With my fourth pick. So now brilliant. I've got the Big O, I've got Larry Bird, and I've got Will Chamberlain. You've got, you know, the human triple-double sitting there. And then my last pick, I'm trying to decide if I want more on the wing or if I want something more in the middle. I just want somebody that can shoot the three besides Bird. I had a bunch of – I did this earlier, and I had a bunch of different players, and you haven't taken anybody besides Jordan that I wanted to take. I'm going to take – I'm going to take LeBron.
Okay.
So that's my five. You have one more, right? You have two. You have two more.
Yeah, I've got two more because yeah. I've got two open slots.
Yep.
So wait, you just took with those two picks. You took Oscar Robertson and LeBron.
Correct. Good luck guarding my team, by the way.
Yeah, you've kind of hosed me.
So do you need to draft Rodman just so you have somebody to guard who can guard multiple players on my team?
Oh man, that's going to be a problem for me because you got LeBron and Bird. Like, so
I got LeBron, Bird, and the Big O, like three guys that can, three of the greatest passers in NBA history.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to call a little bit of an audible here. So I'm going to go. All right, so there's one of these that I know I'm taking. So I'm just going to do that one first, and then I'm going to think about the last pick. I'm taking Magic.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I left him there for you. You got
to
take Magic.
So I have to take Magic, but I have a problem. I have a problem defensively.
So wait a second. You're four or who? Jordan.
So my four are Jordan, Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson.
No, you have five already. Who's your other guy? Karl Malone.
And Karl Malone. Yeah, Karl Malone.
Yeah. You have a defensive problem.
Yeah.
You have a defensive problem. And I've got one more, right? Because I did Wilt, Larry, Big O, and LeBron.
No, I still need a fifth player, though, right?
No, you have five players. You went first, so you've already got five players.
Oh, I don't know who my fifth player was that I picked.
Carl,
I got Magic. Magic. I got Jordan.
You got Magic, Jordan, Malone.
Malone and Kareem.
Kareem. I feel like we should have written this down.
I feel like I need one more pick. I feel like if I just picked one, I was supposed to pick two and then come back to you.
All right, so who's your fifth?
I don't know. I can't decide because I have this defensive problem.
Well, you have not taken, let's see. I mean, you could do Scotty.
I thought about Scotty, right? Because I think Scotty could help solve my defensive problem.
You could do Bill Russell. He guarded Chamberlain when they were both at their peak, and he's shorter, but he could guard anybody. He could guard a wing. He He was an immense defensive player.
No, I think I'm going to take Scotty, actually.
Scotty's not a bad choice. He can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he can do a little bit of everything. I think that's who I'm going to go with. Because Kareem is no slouch.
No, but he is no slouch.
I'm clearly trying to score points.
I'm going to take Tim Duncan with my last. So my front line is Bird, Duncan, and Will Chamberlain. With my backcourt of LeBron and Oscar Robertson.
That's not bad.
That's a big team. I have a big team. Very tall team. But your team's big too.
My team is a big team, and I think that Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan together are going to give anybody fits.
Oh, heck yeah. Oscar Robertson, I don't know. It's hard to know nowadays, but wasn't known necessarily for his defense.
But extremely athletic.
Extremely athletic. LeBron, obviously, if you take him in his prime, he was good defensively, not defensive player of the year type of good, but good. Bird was a good team defender, not necessarily a one-on-one guy. And Wilt was not known for great defense. But when you score 100 points, maybe you don't need that. I don't know. So top five, though, if you look at the top five NBA players of all time, I mean, are you in the LeBron is in the discussion camp, or are you get off my lawn, LeBron couldn't hold his own against those greats?
I think LeBron gets in the discussion. I don't know if he makes the final cut for me, but I don't think it's nonsensical to be discussing him in that vein.
Yeah.
That's just such a tough group to crack. You know, with a history, with a league that's had the history that it has, that really I believe that the NBA, if you look at the current trajectory of the NBA, I think the NBA peaked in the 80s and 90s. And I think that was when you had the best concentration of talent across the league. And so it just makes it hard to compare.
Yeah, it totally makes it hard to compare. Jordan, did you see that great? Was that on the Last Dance, or did I see it somewhere else where he was asked, "Are you the greatest of all time?"
That was on there.
I can't remember because there's been all this other content that's like come on Twitter that, you know what I mean. But his response about I don't know. Right? Like, I never played against Jerry West. I'd love to go back and play him, but I can't say I'm better than Jerry West. Right? A player we didn't even draft, right? Who's one of the all-time greats. Here's my argument for LeBron being in that top five. He was the best player in the NBA for five or six seasons in a row. There aren't many players who can say that. And unlike you, I don't think the NBA peaked in the 80s and 90s. I think the NBA had a lag in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think that talent in the NBA today is one of the best eras. I think we're in a tremendous era. You know, you look at Durant and, you know, Antetokounmpo's and LeBron at the end of his career. And, you know, there are Curry, right? There are some Harden, Westbrook. I mean, these guys could play in any era and be stars.
Yeah, right? I will say the past, I spoke a little bit too strongly, right? The past couple of years, I do feel like, especially when we've gotten into the playoffs, the NBA has become much more compelling.
Yeah.
For the reasons you just cited. Like, there's a lot of fun players to watch.
Great players. Some really, really good players. And that's why, like, again, I wasn't really bagging on Kobe before, but when people talk about him I don't know if he was the best player. He was the best player on his team after Shaq left, but he was never, I don't know if he has one season where he was the best player in the NBA that year. Arguably one, right? And LeBron, Jordan, I mean, these guys were dominant for a long period of time. And I wouldn't put Larry in that, Bird in that, because he just didn't do it, partially because of injury, partially other things, but I mean, Jordan was the best player in the NBA for maybe 8 or 9 years of his career, right? So I think that's why I think he's the best ever. And that's why quite frankly, it's not between him and LeBron. It's really about him and like Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell, right? But comparing against those eras is so hard. Like, I mean, Bill Russell played in Wilt Chamberlain when there were like 18 teams or something, right? It just wasn't the same. You know, those Celtics teams that Bill Russell was on, like six, seven Hall of Famers, right, per team, right? Like, you can't, none of those players wouldn't be on the same team. And, I mean, imagine if you cut the NBA in half, what those teams would look like, right? Imagine if Jordan Bird had played on the same team and Pippen.
That'd be insane.
Yeah, and that was kind of the 50s, 60s. So anyway, well, that's a show, Matt. That's a wrap. I completed my soda. I'm guessing you also completed yours. Hallelujah.
I'm down to just melted ice.
Yeah, I don't do ice, so it's a nice cooled can. It's one of those mini cans.
Ice.
Because it's refrigerated. Have you heard about this? They invented it like 100 years
ago. I take a cold can out of the fridge
and pour it on the ice.
Yeah.
You don't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. It's cold. Like, it's already cold. I don't know. Plus, then it gets watered down.
Not if you drink it fast enough.
No, that's a good point. Though I do like it with a lot of ice from Chick-fil-A, my Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, so. I feel like we should call that ice something else because it's its own thing.
Hmm. What do you want to call it besides ice?
Chick-fil-A ice? I don't know.
Chick-fil-A ice? That's creative. Very good.
It's not a sandwich.
It's definitely not a sandwich. All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Let them enjoy the show as well, especially if they're BYU fans. If they're not, they might still like the show. We have a few people that aren't. But we will be back next week with more nonsense. We'll talk about the offensive team depth charts. And thanks to everybody for downloading and listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars!